KBOO News In Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
Former Police Chief Daniel Outlaw resigned her office at the end of December, taking a job as Philadelphia's Police Commissioner. Appointed in 2017, she was Portland's first female African-American police chief, and she also became the first African-American woman to be appointed police commissioner in Philadelphia. Days after her announcement, Mayor Ted Wheeler selected her replacement, Deputy Chief of Police Jamie Resch. To discuss this change, we have Dan Handelman with Portland Cop Watch on the line with us. Dan, can you hear us?
Yes, absolutely.
Well, thank you for being here. Let's get into it. First, can you tell us a little bit about what Portland Cop Watch does?
Well, we're a group of community activists who are promoting police accountability through community action, and we've been around since 1992. We run an incident report line and publish a newsletter three times a year, monitor all sorts of city meetings, and occasionally go out, as our name suggests, cop watching on the streets to observe police behavior.
And so what is your take on Outlaw's exit?
Well, in some ways it's not surprising. It just the timing was kind of surprising. It was pretty clear that she was, you know, to a lot of people in the community, it was pretty clear that she was wanting to advance her career in a way from being here, because she was a deputy chief, I believe, back in Oakland, and this gave her a chance to rise up in the ranks without having to do it locally where she was from, and then she could promote herself to get another job, and that's eventually what happened. But what we really focused on when she got hired here is that she was an outsider, that it's very hard for most people, when they come into Portland in the first place, but especially when they're in a position of power, to come in as an outsider. And when you're in an institution like the police, where they're really mistrustful of people from the outside, it would have surprised me for her to have had an easy time in there. On the other hand, the head of the police association, or what we would call the police union colloquially, said that he thought he got along really well with her. There were several instances where desires lined up with each other, which is unusual for management and the labor force. And, you know, 'cause we usually hear a lot of griping from the police association about what the management is doing. And he particularly was fond of how she dealt with protests, which I think is one of the biggest problems that she had.
And so you mentioned that the timing of her exit was interesting. Why is that?
Well, it came up very quickly. We at Portland Cop Watch, we've met with every police chief that's been in office since we started in 1992. So, and every time we say we want a police bureau that's free of brutality, corruption, and racism, and they all agree with us. But we usually, at the most, got one more meeting with them, and then it kind of felt like, well, either it felt like they were done with us, or they were short-lived in their tenure, that there was not another opportunity to meet with them. We met with Chief Outlaw six times and disagreed with her about a lot of things. But we met with her December 12, which was, not very long before she made this announcement. I mean, the public found out about it on December 30th. Allegedly, the mayor found out about it on December 27th. So it was, about 2 weeks before she decided to take this job. So I don't know how quickly it happened, where they offered it to her and she decided to do it. But I didn't think it was going to happen that quickly.
And what do you see now as her legacy, now that she's leaving?
Well, I already mentioned the protest problem. I mean, the neo-fascist and anti-fascist rally that happened in August of this year, where the police brought in 700 officers from various agencies, including Portland, to confront what ended up being a crowd of 1,400 people. So basically one officer for every two people that were down there, was complete an overreaction, and it was militarizing our downtown unnecessarily. And a lot of people talked about what a great success that was. And this is one of the things that Daryl Turner from the Police Association pointed to, is that the chief had just started getting a foothold under her about how to deal with these protests. But really what her way of dealing with the protests was a very heavy hand and a lot of violence against community members, and particularly members of the progressive or leftist community, and not those agitators from the right wing that were coming to town to mess things up in the first place. So, and then she also went on the radio with Lars Larson, you may remember, and made comments about how people came downtown and to fight like the school bully after school, and they got their butt kicked by the police. And she said it almost, that's almost verbatim what she said, as though the police were, you know, in some kind of a bully fight after school. This is not what that is. I mean, there's a police are a representative state power that enforces laws through violence, and that's not what they should be doing.
And so Mayor Wheeler has already selected her replacement, Jamie Rush. Can you talk about that a little bit? It's been a very quick decision. What do you all make of that?
Okay, well, those are two different questions. But so the decision to make a smooth transition, I think, in a way, was a very good one, because, we've had many chiefs over these 28 years we've been around as a group. And a lot of times it causes a lot of uneasiness, not only in the community, but also in the police themselves. They don't know what to expect. Is this going to be a harsh disciplinarian, or is it going to be somebody else? And Chief Rush was acting as deputy chief to Chief Outlaw. She had been an assistant chief before that. So she's, you know, kind of a somebody who's going to be following in Outlaw's footsteps. So I think the misstep that happened with the appointment happening was there was no community discussion. Maybe it's because there wasn't enough time. But the mayor could have easily said, I am appointing Jamie Rush temporarily into this position. We're going to talk about this with the community, and if we feel like she's a good choice to be the permanent chief, we'll make that. Otherwise, we'll do a search and figure out who it should be. But instead, he said she's the permanent chief now. And I think that was the big, you know, the problem. So, you know, essentially, one of the things we say at Portland Cop Watch a lot is we're quoting a Black Panther named Michael Zinzin, who passed away many years ago, but he was from Los Angeles, and he said, you know, when you get a broken-down bus, a rickety old broken-down bus, and you change the driver, it's still a rickety broken-down bus. And basically, it doesn't really matter in some ways who the chief is, but you also don't want to, you know, somebody leaving the wheel and then the bus going off the side of the road, right? You want somebody jumping in and taking that wheel right away, and you wanted somebody who's a good driver, and you don't want somebody who's going to drive that bus off the edge of the cliff. So, but, you know, essentially, it's the point of his metaphor is that we need to change the institution of the police. And, you know, who the chief is doesn't matter. What matters is that we change the culture of what's going on.
And do you think that the upcoming police contract negotiations had anything to do with this decision?
You mean Chief Outlaw's decision to leave, or the decision by the mayor to appoint Chief Rush?
Either one.
Well, I would highly doubt that the Chief Outlaw was running away from getting involved in a discussion about the contract. I don't think that was what's her style in any way. I think that in terms of what I was saying about stability, it probably was, again, the mayor's decision to put somebody in there right away so that it wouldn't delay or confuse those upcoming negotiations, which is something that we've been working on very strongly out for the last several months at Portland Cop Watch with a number of other community partners. So I'm glad you asked about that, because it is very important. That's one of the most important things in terms of our accountability that is happening right now, is that the negotiations that are about to start on that contract.
And so, Dan, there's a lot of talk about the relative value of having an outsider police chief like Outlaw, who was from Oakland, versus a more locally grown police chief like Resch or Marshman. That's sort of a hard thing to measure. What do you think? Do you think that that's important, having somebody local like Resch who came up through the Bureau, or an outsider who kind of has a fresh pair of eyes?
Well, I think that the detriment of having an outsider with a fresh pair of eyes is they don't know the history, and they don't understand what's going on in the city. And so we end up having to explain a lot of things to Chief Outlaw that she, you know, should have known, that somebody else should have told her during the course of our six meetings with her. So, you know, while it's also useful to have somebody who's local, that means they come with all the baggage of being part of that history. But I think ideally, from our point of view, generally speaking, the people who know and understand Portland are better to have than people coming from the outside, because we don't have to teach them that history. The problem is finding somebody who's willing to promote a progressive change inside the Bureau and who also came up through the ranks, and that's kind of hard to find.
There's also been some chatter that Portland has been exploited kind of in some way by Outlaw as she heads to a higher position somewhere else. So do you feel that she used Portland for her career?
She could have chosen other places to go to, and the same thing probably would have happened. But she also did make a point of going out in the community here, going to barbershops, meeting with people, and meeting with our group, for instance. I think she also went to a lot of conferences, and she was out of town quite a bit. So it's kind of a mixture of she showed a dedication to, you know, wanting to be the chief of this particular police bureau, as we call it here. But at the same time, I think she was always had her eye on if something bigger came along, she would want to take it. So I don't know if I would use the term used. It's a thing that political people do all the time, and whether it's a chief of police or an elected official or whatever, they sometimes do that.
And what do you think the city of Philadelphia can expect with Outlaw?
Well, that's an interesting question because, you know, Philadelphia looks a lot different from Portland. Like, we only have 6% black population. I'm sure it's much larger there. So I think that for her, it's going to be less of a culture shock than having come from Oakland to the very white city of Portland. I don't know. I'm not that familiar with what is going on there. I don't know how much of the harsh crackdown on protests is going to be something that affects the culture there. We make a lot about the fact that she was a woman and she's African American, but I think at the core of it, she's a police officer, and the issue that we run into where we would find disagreement is because when you start picking at that police officer culture and mindset, that's where you get the disagreements. And so, I don't know what that means for the people of Philadelphia.
In the year 2020, I mean, we have an election year, and we have what looks to be like a developing armed conflict with Iran. And there are likely to be a number of large protest actions in the city. What do you expect from Chief Resch and the bureau that she's overseeing for events like that?
What do I expect from them? What I expect in terms of what I think they should do is I think they should be accommodating to free speech, that they should do what people did in, I believe it was Nashville, when there were protests that were blocking their freeways, and they came with hot chocolate, went to the people who were trapped in their cars and said, look, you know, if there was a natural disaster, you'd be stuck here too. So let's just wait this out. Eventually the protesters will go away. And I think that's a good way to deal with it. But I think instead of looking at free speech events that are permitted or unpermitted as somehow disruptive and something that has to be broken up by violence, which is what we've experienced quite a lot. I have to say that, and this wasn't Chief Outlaw's decision, but we did a protest action about no war with Iran in July of last year, where our parent group, Peace and Justice Works, actually applied for a permit and got one. But then when we got in the street, the police said, you don't have enough people to get in the streets, and we're going to revoke your permit. And we're like, well, we're parching anyway. And instead of cracking down on us, they kind of, you know, rolled the dice, thought about it, and said, you know, it probably makes more sense. We're already here instead of getting overtime, you know, cops in here and breaking things up and having violence to get to push these people out of the street. Let's just let them go on their march. And that's what they did. And that's what I'd like to see. I think that's the way they should be treating, you know, regardless of the fact that we'd apply for the permit in the first place. Like I said, they revoked it. But they can treat every protest action like that and just accommodate them, block off traffic, let us go through the streets when we want. And, everybody gets to go home safe at night without any unnecessary confrontations.
All right. We've been speaking with Dan Handelman with Portland Cop Watch about the recent resignation of Police Chief Danielle Outlaw and her replacement with the new Police Chief Jamie Resch. More information on Portland Cop Watch is available online at portlandcopwatch.org. Thank you so much for being with us, Dan.
Oh, thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. This has been the KBOO Evening News In Depth. I'm Sam Bowman.
And I'm Yasmin Kobanoglu. Have a nice night.